A little mishap there, but we ready. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, which means it's time for the Monocacy to bring you a little bit of wrestling talk, a little bit of wrestling news and notes, all that good stuff. Today's a little different. We know there's an early Raw. There may be a couple of things that we touch on that, but we're going to save that in-depth dive for next week when a lot of you have had an opportunity to watch it and kind of give us your thoughts and follow along with us. But we had enough stuff happen. We'll be good. You know, we had AEW Forbidden Door. We'll be talking about that. We had NXT Heat Wave. And, of course, we have Clash in Paris coming up. So we will be, you know, making picks and all that good stuff. So keep you busy. A lot of interesting stuff. Beside me, as always, the other half of this duo of monarchy, my man Playmaker. What did it look like, Playmaker?
I don't think they ready for today's show.
He was being genuine when he said it's gonna be a little different.
If they stay ready, they ain't gotta get ready. They might be ready.
It's not gonna be a little different. Cause it's a lot of things going on in the world of professional wrestling.
This is true.
So there'd be some things that you might get some fire from that guy over there rocking the Super Bowl champion Eagles hat.
Possibly.
Because there's way too much things going on here. So let me first throw out the first disappointment of the show. If you're looking for any traditional TNA news, you're not getting it tonight. We being completely honest. If you're looking for a traditional NXT news, you're not getting it tonight. I'm being completely honest. Yeah, we're going to talk about Heat Wave. But we're going to talk about Heat Wave in a different manner than we talked about all the other NXT Premium Live events. Oh, we're also going to talk about Forbidden Door. They did set records. Got to give them props on that. They set records. I'm pretty sure Cool will get into that. And then we're going to talk WWE, who is might be the main focus, even though they usually are every week. But this one in a different light. So we got a lot to go into, sir. So which way do we go first?
Thought you had a few points you wanted to touch on the beginning of the show, sir.
Oh, okay. We want to go that route first. Okay, so news broke. Naomi is officially pregnant. She relinquished the title. And we got a baby Uso chant from the crowd. That was pretty awesome. And while I'm talking about the bloodline, let me just go ahead and say my moment of the week. The bloodline took over Raw. Literally, the bloodline ended with Naomi making the announcement, Jey Uso in the main event, and then Roman Reigns return. The bloodline ended Raw. Dude, that's my moment of the week, okay? By the way, Cool, did you see the exchange between Jay Cargill and Naomi on X this week?
Yes.
I love the fact that they stay in the character. I love it. Matter of fact, I believe somebody else made a tweet that you enjoy more specifically, sir. You want to talk about that tweet?
I absolutely do. So, Becky Lynch tweeted Naomi and said how irresponsible it is to get pregnant while you're a champion. A lot of people felt some sort of way about that. I felt some sort of way too, but my sort of way is a little different. I was choking. I was laughing so hard. I was like, boy, being a heel in the age of social media is fun. Because you can actually go at somebody for doing exactly the same thing you did.
That's pretty much what she did.
Because remember, she had to give up her championship. But there was a Money in the Bank person, so it was easier because you could just give them the belt in the briefcase. Didn't quite work with Naomi because she was the Money in the Bank winner. So, you know, it's already used. But What I did like about this whole thing with Naomi is we got a chance to see her best character work I think she's done. And now she gets probably about 12 months or so to hone that while taking care of baby Uso. You know, because she's only about, what, I think she said, what, 5 weeks or 7 weeks or something?
We're not too sure on the math, but
I think she's like 7 weeks.
But if you're not, you know, if you add a week, you're somewhere around about the 6 to 8 range.
Yeah, yeah. So she'll be out for probably about a year. But she'll get a chance to hone the character, come back, and make everybody proceed with caution. Obviously, you know, depends on how, after having the baby, how she's able to work out and, you know, get herself into ring shape and stuff. But somewhere around now.
What do you think about the promo she cut?
Yeah. The promo she cut was great. That, her promo was my moment of the week. That's my moment of the week. Because she went from the nice, sweet Naomi to right back in character. In about 2 minutes. She told the Raw GM, get the H out of my ring. I'm not giving nobody the belt this time. I'm going to lay it down, but I ain't giving it to nobody. So, a lot of good things were said. She talked about how even she had to come back with her baby drinking milk from her chest. She was coming back. And everybody better proceed with caution, whoever's a champion, when she gets back. I do like that. I think it gives her a chance to freshen up the character a little bit. It gives people a chance to miss her. So she can come back with exactly the same gimmick, but I guarantee she's going to be a baby face when she comes back. Unless she does a Becky Lynch. She'll be a baby face when she comes back. It'll be fun to see that. Going to miss her because, you know, chocolate cakes is one of the original cakes in the whole Cakes Will Army. But I understand. Big Jim finally shot the club up. I ain't mad at him.
As you can tell, for once, me and him had the same moment of the week. He was just focused on Naomi, minus the entire bloodline, because the entire bloodline closed out the show. While that's going on. Now, I'm going to save the other part for later, because I think it ties into when we start previewing Clash of Paris. But trust me, I am not done with the WWE and what they got going on here. Or should I just say, instead of saying WWE, make it TKO. I got some words for you guys. But I'm going to save it later on. I'm going to save it later on because it's going to tie in to when we preview Clash in Paris. I'm going to save it. But where we go next? Forbidden Door, Heatwave, where you want to go?
Let's go ahead and go to Heatwave next, sir.
We want to go to Heatwave. Man, oh man. So Heatwave was a interesting PLE. So we got to see a triple threat match. Lola Vice, Jada Parker, and Kalani Jordan fight for the number one contendership to JC James NXT Women's Championship. Didn't quite know how this would go, where we going to go. A hypnotic to Kalani Jordan, and then a roll up by Lola Vice for the 1-2-3 on Jada Parker. Lola Vice is your new number one contender, sir.
I do want to say this was the perfect example of a match that was kicked up and kicked out. Perfect example. Slim cakes to more thick and pronounced with cakes everywhere.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think they were thinking about you for the opening match because they knew they was going to disappoint you with the next match.
I completely agree. Completely agree.
Because they knew the next match you was not going to be happy with. And why do I say that? Because the NXT tag team titles were on the line. Hank and Tank defending against two members of Dark State.
The loser for this match was everybody who watched.
Ouch. Because I watched. You had Osiris and Deion Lennox representing Dark State. And they captured the tag team titles. Dark State are champions. I can just see the displeasure in your face, sir.
Last week, they hadn't beat anybody. Now they're champions. This is what I'm talking about. You build up people to make them champions. I knew they were going to do this crap. You know why? Because nobody cares about Hank and Tank either. You don't build guys up and you throw the championships on and you expect people to, oh, Hank and Tank have the championships. Dark State has the championships. Another tag team we've never heard of and don't care about before has the championships. So, oh, they're the greatest tag team now. They are not. I don't even have a problem with Dark State winning. But why have them lose every match that they're in up until they win the tag team championships? How does that make anyone believe that they're good champions or they're people that you should be watching and saying, oh, man, NXT really did something? You took the belt off two guys that nobody cares about and put it on two guys out of four that nobody cares about. Great job, NXT. That's how you get me interested. Great job. And I'm agreeing with Yolanda. She says, glad I didn't watch. I know that's right, Yolanda.
Yeah, something. They say, hey, Cool McCain, have some cakes as you get ready for Heat Wave. And then right after that.
Right. Your couch, Cool McCain.
Let's drop the hammer. Waterman eating the cake.
And no, Yolanda, you are not a loser. Laugh out loud. You are a wrestling fan that understands there are times to watch and there's times that I do shows, so I have to kind of keep up. But if I didn't, oh boy, if I didn't, I'd do a wrestling show. Boy, boy, boy. She also says, hey, fellas. What up, Yolanda?
From Cool McCain's disappointment to Cole Johnson throwing up all over Nashville, Tennessee. We had the TNA Knockouts Women Championship defended on NXT Heatwave. We're not going to bring up any old conversations from Cool McCain. We're just going to leave it like that. JC Jane defended her title against Masha Samovich and Ash by Elegance. Should I get the results first and then get my commentary, or should I get my commentary first and then the results?
Whichever way you go, sir, I am leaving for a moment because my face is not going to be seen while you're talking about this until it's my turn.
Not wrong, buddy. So you know what? Let's go to the let's just go ahead and go to the counter. So you mean to tell me? Yes, Jasmine Nix decided to punch Last Legend in the face. I mean, not Last Legend, but as by Elegance in the face. And her and Fallen Henley gets ejected from ringside. But it's a no disqualification because it's a triple threat match. Okay. So you said precedence on that. Okay. We go down the line. The match continues to go. Each competitor come close to victory. Back and forth we go. And then JC Jane gets the upper hand. One, two, she gets pulled out of the ring by the Elegance brand. But you didn't throw them out there, right? But you didn't throw them out from ringside. You didn't throw them out from ringside. What? Wait a minute here. Wait a minute. How are you going to throw a Flair Influence out from ringside, but not the Elegant brand from ringside for getting involved in the match as well? Screwdrop number one from NXT Heatwave. Which leads to a new TNA Knockouts Women's Champion, Ash by Elegance. With meaning the Elegant brands have all the gold because the other two ladies have the Knockouts tag team titles. So cool. School job number one. And I hate saying this, but Fatal Influence got screwed.
My bad.
No, you can come on, camera. I'm done. Let me say, who's y'all number one?
So, first of all, why is anyone getting thrown out of a three-way match? Three-way matches should not have any rules. You basically go in and do your thing, right? Because anything that's a three-way match, four-way match, whatever, is no disqualification. So why are you throwing people out if there's no disqualification? Because what's the point of fatal four-ways, triple threat matches? No disqualification. So why are you throwing people out if there's no disqualification? We've seen them all through time come in, outside interference. Bloodline had them for, what, 3 years? What are you doing, NXT? What are you doing with that?
See, my problem is if you're gonna do that, why you ain't throw that Vince Baron out when they got involved?
Because you shouldn't have thrown nobody out. You don't throw people out.
That's what I say. You already set the precedent, though. That's my point. You set the ref set the precedent. Okay, you get involved, you get kicked out.
The ref realized they screwed up. They just wanted to get that belt off her, and that was the best way to do it.
Screwjob number one.
That was screwjob number one. And there were more.
Make no darn sense. All right. Jordynne Grace finally gets her hands on Blake Monroe after all these times. And yes, I was terrified for one Blake Monroe. I would be completely honest with you.
You should have been.
But the 30 inches of one Blake Monroe got one over on Jordynne Grace. The turnbuckle at the bottom was removed, and let's just say Blake Monroe showed that she has a different side to her, as the NXT fans I finally found out, which me and you already knew from what she was going through in AEW. But now they brought a little part of that out in NXT Heatwave, and she beat Jordynne Grace. So I'm good. I don't know if you had anything you want to say, but I'm good. I'm good.
That's what you should have expected. That's all I got to say.
So if I had to pick a surprise or stun moment of the week for me, it's the crowd reacting to Chelsea Green. They love Chelsea Green. You had Chelsea Green and Anthony Page in a mixed tag team match against Trayvon Hit Heights and Tyra May Steele. And let's just say the crowd favorite won. And when I say crowd favorite, I do mean Chelsea Green and Anthony Page. As crazy as that sounds. What kind of crowd we was dealing? That's a different crowd. They were really cheering for Chelsea Green. How did you feel when you was? I'm like, because I'm saying like, damn, Chelsea Green is actually popular with this crowd.
I think she's popular with a lot of crowds, because she has a good gimmick. And it fits her because it makes her feel like she's like a nagger. Like she'll just nag, 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 nag. And I think that's a perfect character for her. And then having a Secret Hervis working with her, I think that's a chef kiss for someone putting that together for her.
Yeah, a naggy woman, but she does have cakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not surprising ever since we've been talking about Chelsea Green, you have never mentioned it.
I knew if I didn't, sooner or later you would. I've said it in my mind every time, but I knew if I didn't, sooner or later you would. Chelsea cakes.
You see how long it took?
But it did happen. Long-term gratification.
And then we proceed. Oh, and by the way, they decided to make a whole bunch of announcements. So we have No Mercy's returning, but it's going to be a NXT premium live event. I think they bring it back Halloween Havoc. Obviously, the name tells you what month that's going to be in. They making all the announcements. I'm saying, like, you don't slow the hell down with y'all making all these announcements. People can't keep up with all this. We're just trying to get through heat wave at the moment in time. Am I lying?
There was a lot going on.
We're just trying to get through heat wave, and y'all sitting here making all these announcements. Which brings me to the main event. Screw job number two.
Definitely a screw job.
Matter of fact, I'm gonna read this from Bleacher Report. The last few minutes was the most exciting portion of the match. Evans was pulling out all the stops, and Obafemi was doing his best to fight him off. They had the crowd chanting "This is awesome" as they built towards the finish. It looked like Evans was going to win, but Obafemi's foot was under the rope, so another ref weighed off the count, and the match continued. Femi scooped his rival up and threw him over the top rope through the announce table in the wildest spot of the night, which I do agree with because that was just disrespectful. Just throw that man from the ring through the announce table. The crowd was not happy about it, but Femi ended up getting a win to retain his title. Go ahead, sir.
The crowd made a lot of sense in this. Here's the thing, man. We know it was a botch. We get it. But you have to be better than that. You really do. Like, if you're going to put on these NXT events, you're going to do premium live events, and you want to have them be something that's almost on or at the same level as Raw and SmackDown, you can't do these things there. This happens at a house show. This happens on an episode of NXT TNA, excuse me. Then that's what it is. But this is your premium live event. You got to be on point with these. And this put a big stain on the entirety of the event. This took an event that wasn't bad. I mean, Ash by Elegance won a World Heavyweight Championship. That's bad. But overall, it wasn't bad. And you made it worse than it really needed to be because you left everybody with a sour taste in their mouth from the main event.
The three count was made.
Keep in mind, on the main roster, King of the Ring, not this past one, but the one before, there was a mistake like that. And what did they say? Oh, you know, the referee's decision is final. But now it's not.
Yeah, that's when Gunther beat Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm. But now it's not. So is it? Is it ain't? When is it? When is it not? Like, come on, man.
The three count was made, and another referee continued the match.
We know that was Shawn Michaels. Like, hey, you gotta go fix that. They weren't trying to take that belt off of the ruler. But you create controversy. Now, reasons for the young OG to keep getting shots. So we get to keep seeing the same match. And I love Javon Evans. Very innovative moveset. He's going to be better as he gets a little bit more, you know, age and time in the ring, bulks up a little bit. Probably going to be too much, but a little bit. But you blew it.
Yeah, two screw drops in the same night. We're used to just one happening, and that one usually is on purpose. But two mistakes by referees. We ain't talking about the competitors. The refs made these mistakes. So on one end, you throw inflated influence up, but you ain't gonna throw the elegance brand out. What are we doing? It is a triple threat match. There's no disqualification. You make the three count for a new NXT. We should be standing here today, despite Kuma Kane's fandom for Obi Fenny. We should be standing here with Javon Evans as the NXT champion.
No, we should. We should. Yeah, we should. Definitely should.
And my only fact, if it's... both matches sure. were good matches. Were entertaining matches. And like he said, and you left both of us, you left both matches with sour tastes in the fans' mouth.
Should never leave the fans with a sour taste in their mouth.
Not once, but twice in the same night. I think you can go to break the death before we get to within forbidden door. I guess I don't want to
lump forbidden door
with what happened.
Yep, and then forbidden door will be and the docket when we return.
Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week, in an objective manner, and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care! Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets. Whether it's the men's college game,
the way that this season has been going, anything is possible.
The women's college game,
and how passionate Angel Reese was at that press conference, they got their mojo now.
The WNBA,
AJ Wilson-Briant Sutter 1-2, followed by Brittany Griner, Aaliyah Boston, Jackie Young.
Or the NBA.
The Lakers had a 0.8 chance of winning. And then what happened in the fourth quarter? LeBron James by himself outdid the Clippers.
You will get any and all of the information right at your fingertips or your earlobes. Join the playmaker as he breaks down all things basketball in Shooting Lights Out on the Playmakers Blog Network YouTube channel and where you can find podcasts.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids on the block. New edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
Jason Whitlock, go you know what yourself a third time.
Why?
Not a fan. At all. But AEW Forbidden Door. So just to give you an idea, this was basically New Japan Pro Wrestling, AEW, CMLL and Stardom all coming together. And of course, they're in London at O2 Arena. London loves professional wrestling. I think they like AEW style more. I'm not sure that they care as much about storylines. But they were very live. They were very hype. So we had a Don Callis family in almost every match because there's like 1,000 of them. It started out in the 0 hour, but they had crew in there, and it's like, come on, bro. And their team lost. That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. Ricochet and the Gates of Agony, who we'll talk again about later, had a match against Jack Speed and Michael Oku on 0 hour. Ricochet and Gates of Agony, of course, won the match because that's what makes sense. They're actually the focused on. We had another match that had lots of cakes involved. I'm actually only discussing this match because of the amount of cakes that was involved. You had Harley Cameron, Chris Statlander, Queen Aminata, and Willow Nightingale. And just to be clear, three of those women are caked up and caked out. And Harley Cameron, she has other assets that are aesthetically pleasing as well. So, against the Triangle of Madness and Megan Bain. And if you know anything about Megan Bain, you know those are cakes. Julia, not Julia. Well, Julia, but Julia Hart, Sky Blue, and Thekla all have cakes as well. So the other team all had cakes as well. So it was cakes versus cakes. And of course, the winner was all the men that got to watch the match. But the winner was the Megan Bain and the Trio of Madness, because they were working together. The other team, not really a team, they weren't working together. Then we had a trios match. The Ops versus the Bullet Club War Dogs. Another one of those last-minute throw-ins. Ops won. That's all we're going to say about that. Main card. Adam Copeland and Christian Cage in the ring together against Killswitch and Kip Sabian. Killswitch came back on Dynamite. Christian was a little scared. He got over it. Cope and Christian, maybe we can call him the CNC connection, because I'm not saying Cope and Christian, CNC. They defeated Kip Sabian and Killswitch. There's some things that happen after the match, but it's all good. It's not, like, very important. We had Kyle Fletcher with the TNT Championship, which we talk about way more than we do the TBS Championship, as Playmaker pointed out to me before we started today. Kyle Fletcher retained and kept his championship. Great match. Kept his championship. TBS Championship match. Mercedes Moné versus Alex Windsor, Persephone, and Bozilla. We know who won. She's only had one loss, and they're going to protect her, and she ain't really get another one no time soon. Biggest part of the match for me was when Mercedes Moné came out, and she had the eight men holding her other eight championships besides the TBS championship. I'm going to stop right here because I think maybe my co-host may have something he wants to say.
Oh, you got the spirit.
I just feel it inside.
So,
You want me to keep going?
Sorry about Swerve. I know Swerve is your dude. I hate to see stuff like that happen. My issue is that has nothing to do with Swerve. Mr. Don Callis, how many MFing people you need in your freaking family? Now, if you want to know why Swerve is in the position that he's in, because Warlow came back and he joined the Don Callis family. Oh, and by the way, but
Takeshita was happy to see him there. I don't think Takeshita was.
By the way, with Warlow joining the family, you got about 100 freaking people. And how many times did that whole family get?
they have the Unified Championship and the TBS Championship. It's the only belts that they have. No Ring of Honor belts or anything. And what's crazy about it is, what's the point in having all these guys? You brought in Josh Alexander, he joined. You got all these people. AEW got like 1,000 belts, not like 99 belts, because they had 100, but they combined two of them. They got like 99 belts between Ring of Honor and AEW. And you may tell me you got this whole entire family full of people, and they're not able to take advantage and get more belts. Like, what is y'all doing? What is the storylines? What are we doing? Nick Wayne has a championship. Nick Wayne. We can't get it off him again on one of the Don Callis family people.
Nick Dumbbutt Wayne has a championship, but only two people in Don Callis family out of 100 has a title. As you did that right on Q2. Go ahead.
All you, sir.
No, you good. Go ahead. I'm done.
You try to give AEW some credit, and then they pull this crap. Like, come on, man. We have a whole family faction here with 2 billion titles, and only two people got titles. None of which mean anything. Not even the Unified title means anything. What significance is it? Jeez. Go ahead, I'm done.
Now, do you have anything for Mercedes Moné too? I know you had mentioned you may have something you want to say about that too, sir.
What's she at Forbidden Door?
Mm-hmm.
What did she do?
She won a four-way match.
For?
For TBS Championship. She had the other, she had Royal Guards bring out her other 8 championships for her entrance. They took the glasses off, y'all.
As y'all want to know, I still love Mercedes Moné. Anytime I can see Mercedes Moné, it breaks my day. I don't need you having 9 freaking titles that don't mean a crap. You had all these independent freaking titles from the independent circuit. You have the TBS title, but when's the last time the TBS title actually mean it? Darn thing.
When was the first time, you mean?
When Jay Cargill had it.
But did it really have meaning, or were we just happy that Jade, we could see Jade every week?
It means something, and then they dropped the ball with Chris Statlander.
Okay.
We actually thought that's when it was going to let Chris Statlander put a rocket on her and shoot her to the moon. But they decided to drop the ball on that. That's why the TBS title is where it is now. We don't even care about the TBS title. We don't care about the 1,000 other titles you got. You had a shot at the women's world title, and you got beat by Toni Storm at All Out. So you walking around here, 9 belt Mercedes Moné, the CEO. Ain't worth nothing right now. Get me off this camera before I end up doing something I'm not supposed to be doing.
He done took the glasses off, y'all. When we took the glasses off, he's a tad bit of bothered there, my good people. So we'll continue on. We have the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. Zack Sabre Jr. goes up against Nigel McGuinness. Now, my thing with this is I had no clue Nigel McGuinness was actually still wrestling. He was an announcer last time I heard. So
you did not say Nigel McGuinness.
Obviously, Zack Sabre Jr. won the match.
You did not say Nigel McGuinness was in a wrestling match.
Nigel, make up your freaking match for the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
Nigel, make up your freaking mind. Do you want to wrestle or do you want to commentary? That's the reason why Samoan Joe is in AEW. He didn't want to commentate. He wanted to wrestle.
Well, Brian Danielson's a, or yeah, I think it's Brian Danielson's the real name. I keep getting mixed up because it's so close. Brian Danielson was out doing some commentary, so you know, there's that. Now, here's where AEW pissed me off.
First he time. Chose to retire.
World Tag Team Championship match. My boys, the Hurt Syndicate, they hurt people. Versus FTR versus Brodito, which is Brody King and Bandito. I don't know what happened to Mr. Rhea Ripley, but he's not his tag team partner. All right.
I just got what you just said.
First, pace of the match favored FTR and Brodito over Lashley and Shelton Benjamin until they took control. Then they were beat up by Ricochet and the Gates of Agony. So this let it be get down to a two-team match. Brody King and Bandito are now your AEW World Tag Team Champions. Why in the ever-loving mother sucker did you not make the Hurt Syndicate look strong in a loss? And you could argue, oh, but cool, they were taken out. When has the Hurt Syndicate been taken out by two clowns that couldn't even beat Swerve Strickland and the goofball Ricochet? Now, if you said, oh, they were fighting through the crowd and they were away from the match when it happened, but they took them out. The Hurt Syndicate got took out by the Gates of Agony and Ricochet. I like the winners. I like it being Brody King and Bandito Brodito. Those are two guys who haven't had the tag team championships before and could open up fresh rivalries and all that. To take the belts off the Hurt Syndicate, this was the way. I didn't think they would do it, but this was the way. You had to do it where they don't actually get pinned. Now, instead of me getting as mad as I could, this is what I'm going to say. If they use this as an opportunity to now have Shelton go after, I think it was the TNT championship he wanted, and then Bobby Lashley go after the world championship and win them, this makes sense. Or one of the other 1,000 belts Shelton wins, this makes sense. If you're not going to have them individually compete and win championships, this is another one of those hurricane, tornado, powder-infused ideas that will blow. Well, I'm going to stick to the theme, go up in smoke, like so many of the other harebrained ideas that AEW has had. And speaking of harebrained ideas that AEW has had, Tony Khan has decided that you have to at least give a week's notice if you're going to cash in one of the contracts to have a match against a champion.
You didn't say that. Tell me you didn't just say that.
Oh, my brother. I said it. He feels that it's only fair.
Did you just say the word fair? Like F-A-I-R, fair? Is that the word you just used?
Uh-huh.
Hey, Tony Khan, let me tell you something about the word
fair. You have to at least give a week's notice.
Let me tell you something about the word fair in wrestling.
What's the point?
They don't go together. Even not this, he didn't talk about two screw jobs that happened at NXT Heatwave, and guess what's going to happen? And screw job happened at NXT Heatwave, and guess what's going to happen? Well, the referee decision still stands. So as by elegance is going to be the TNA Knockouts champion. And guess what? Over 50 is still going to be the NXT champion. Is that fair? Or, matter of fact, let's keep it to your company. Is it fair that Don Callis has 100 members of his family and only two people got championships? Is that fair? Is it fair that is it fair that Ring of Honor is a dead program thanks to you? Is that fair? But you want to be fair about a contract that's supposed to be similar to WWE's Money in the Bank. You want to know why Money in the Bank is so prestigious as it is? Because guess what? I don't have to tell you a goddamn thing. I can do whatever I feel like. If I want to turn a match that's a championship match to a triple threat match, guess what I'm going to do? A la Naomi and Seth Rollins. Or how about I just wait for the champion to go through a bloody hell of a match inside the Elimination Chamber, and then when he think this night is over and everybody else think that the night is over because that's the main event, no. I ain't cashing in right now. That's why Money in the Bank is so prestige. I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, you're good.
You said fair enough. I lost it.
You make 100% sense to me. So then we had the match we talked about earlier with Swerve. He lost to Okada. And he got beat up more, got trapped between the stairs. Wardlow joined the family, beat the snot out of Prince Nada, who came to save Swerve the steel pipe. Konosuke Takeshita was the last one out. He apprehendedly joined the family. So I think we're getting the seeds of Takeshita turning and unifying with some other guys to finally do something about this Don Callis family, because now there's no place for Takeshita because he was the top guy, the alpha. But now he's been replaced by Okada while he was out. I think he was injured. So, interesting. Swerve's going to be out for a while, which makes sense why he didn't win a championship. I think this is something he's needed to have done for a while outside of storyline, just, you know, like kind of give you what's really going on. He really needed to have this happen so they use the storyline as a way to write him off for a while so that we can get a great return from Swerve Strickland in the future. So good luck on getting everything taken care of. And, you know, I don't know if it's surgery, just need some time off and some rehab or whatever, Swerve. But hey, when you get back, I'll be doing a Nana dance. When I hear whose house, I sure will. I do it every time. Next match, we still on it. Next match. You know they'd be long. Thomas, Tony Storm versus Athena. I don't think we have to talk about who won this match.
We know. Help myself, my neck. You knew Athena wasn't going to win.
Yeah, the dead brand champion, female champion ain't going to win. Hangman fought MJF. He got dirty with MJF. Every dirty move that MJF did, he came with another one. He basically let him know, hey, if you're gonna win this belt, you gotta win this belt. Cause if you try to go underhanded to win, I can go underhanded right with you.
Who's the dirtiest player?
Woo!
That's basically what I got when you were saying all that.
Yeah. And then the main event. Not the championship match, which is okay. It's not in this particular case. Your main event. Team Ospreay versus the Death Riders, Gabe Kidd, and the Young Bucks. And remember, Team Ospreay, the Golden Lovers, for those of you who don't know who those guys are, that is one Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, Darby Allin, and Tanahashi from New Japan Pro Wrestling. They're commissioner, actually. run out of the team. Of course, Ospreay's team beat the Death Riders and the Young Bucks, of course. Brian Danielson left before the match started. Omega was not cleared to compete for the match, but because it was a lights out match, basically AEW is absolving itself of any culpability he did compete. But yeah, they won. Great match, very brutal, very violent. At the end of the day, you're just basically telling everybody that don't care about the Death Riders at all anymore. And I'm listening for one.
Stop with the lights out match.
You tell me don't care. Don't care.
Every pay-per-view don't need a lights out match. Jeez.
Not everyone, sir. Just every other one.
That either.
Yeah. And it kind of came out of nowhere. They kind of went back. They regressed a little bit on this one because it kind of came out of nowhere. For the lights out match, I'm not really a fan of when they come out of nowhere. I like for when you get the like lights out and cage matches and last man standing matches and all that, that we're dealing with something that's been a long term feud, at least bubbling. So, you know, that's just my interpretation of the situation. It's my interpretation. Shout out to Real Wise Radio. We on there. If you're listening to us on Real Wise Radio, go ahead and make sure you hop over at Real Play Callers. On YouTube at then or at Shady Sports Network or at Play, what is yours, the Playmakers Blog?
Playmakers Blog Sports Network YouTube channel.
Playmakers Sports Blog Network, yep. So we've went through the two that have already happened. We're gonna turn things over to Playmaker. Here's a couple of things to talk about, and we're gonna go over the last one that has not happened, but the matches that we have so far.
No more breaks. Just going straight through.
Straight into it. No breaks.
Straight into it.
All gas. No breaks. Yala me.
Are y'all ready? Because guess what? This Sunday, and yes, it's a Sunday, not a Saturday. Smart move. I would give them that smart move by WWE. They understood their assignment.
I want to do it.
They understood their assignment on this one. They understood their assignment. This Sunday. 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. West Coast time. The final PLE to stream on Peacock for the WWE main roster, Clash in Paris. Now, we're not going to talk about the events of today's Raw. We will save that for next week. But I will give you the current updated card for Sunday. Are you ready, sir?
Mm-hmm.
You have John Cena going against Logan Paul. And Logan Paul knocked John Cena out. It took two tries, though. Oh, Logan Paul, don't get it twisted. You got caught, sir.
Yeah, it really did.
You got caught.
Yeah.
See, the Netflix version shows that you barely touched Mr. Cena. But the USA version showed that you cold cop John Cena. And then you can see the two different reactions by John Cena. So, Logan, you effed up, sir. You effed up. You get one. That's your one. That's the one that me and Koo are going to allow you. You get one. You get one. You get one. The next one, that guy over there in the Eagles hat, he's going to get you the next time. Me, I'm the more nice one. But that's your one, Logan Paul. Don't do it again. Can John Cena really lose to a YouTuber, though?
Who knows? This is a good guy, John Cena.
Paul, if you have John Cena lose to Logan Paul, you might as well just cancel the rest of the farewell tour. Cause nobody ain't gonna care about John Cena after that. He lost to Logan call. Don't get me wrong, me and Cool have given Logan Paul his props when he deserved it. But when a John Cena farewell tour, you lose to Logan.
That's true. He can't lose the
body. Now, Bill is talking about we weren't doing a whole farewell tour thing and he lost Logan Paul. We'll be disappointed. You probably won't like it, but we'll forget about it. Hey, John Cena going out. I mean, that was his last match. It is what it is. No, we still got to December to get to. He cannot lose to Logan Paul.
Not after just losing to Cody.
So, John Cena did this. Added to the card today. Intercontinental Women's Championship match. Becky Lynch defending against Nikki Bella. Nikki, feel good story, but not over Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is starting to cook now.
You can look, but you can't touch Nikki. Oh, and when it comes to beating Becky for the championship...
Ooh, that was good. Ooh, that was cold. That was cold. Ooh, that was cold. Using her own music interest against her. Ooh, that's cold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Nikki, but not Becky. Not. I'm telling you, the way she's trajectory right now, she's back to being Becky Lynch. I ain't doing the Becky Hogan thing no more. She's about to be a big list because she is cooking right now.
Yeah. I think they should have introduced the beginning of this a little differently, but I would have to agree she is cooking now with grease.
I can rock with this Becky Lynch here. I can walk with it. Especially with her going on social media and doing what she did, especially with Naomi. That was great.
It was not bad.
The tribal chief will be in Paris. And it's not for a title match.
It's to get his shoes back. Gotta fight the tribal thief.
Tribal thief versus tribal chief. Y'all know I'm biased. Y'all know I'm picking with it. I'm going with the tribal chief. But it is funny to think about. Tribal Thief versus Tribal Chief.
For the Shula Fala. Paul Heyman is wild, bro.
That's why Paul Heyman is golden. That's why you must protect Paul Heyman at all times.
Yes, I would agree.
Good or bad, it don't matter. Protect that man at all times.
I would have to agree with that.
The Shula Fala. All right, it is in Paris, right? So we are going over to Europe, right? Mm-hmm. So let's go to the European style. A good old-fashioned Donnybrook. Sheamus and Rusev. This better be the last time, God darn it. I'm sorry, I talked to your head. I'm sorry. I talked to your head. I couldn't hold it, though. Y'all get the match that y'all want. Y'all get a good old fashioned Donnie Boy. There's really no freaking rules. It's just the European way of doing things. So this better be the last. I don't care if Sheamus win. I don't care if Rusev win. I just want to be the last goddamn time that I see Rusev.
I don't care if the meteorite hits it. They done after this.
Don't care. That's why we're not picking them winners, because we don't care. Just end it. Like Adam Pearce said, just end it.
Yeah.
Whoever wins, wins. Okay? Good for you.
I'll pick Rusev just to pick somebody, but I really don't care.
Whoever loses, go back to the drawing board. It's not the end of your career.
It would help Rusev more if he wins.
We would not come on here next week and look at you like you're lower than anybody else.
Not at all.
Both of you guys are built for this type of match. So somebody got to win, somebody got to lose. It is what it is. He just picking Riso just for the fun of it. I can care less. Just end it.
Literally just for the fun of it.
And then the last and final card, final match scheduled for this card, and it will be the main event. Fatal 4-way match for the World Heavyweight Championship. The champion Seth freaking Rollins defending it against CM Punk. LA Knight.
And yeah.
Main event, Jey Uso.
Yeah.
So, Seth Rollins, first title defense, Fatal 4-Way. No, second title defense, because CM Punk screwed the first title defense. Second title defense against the other three competitors who want to fight Seth Rollins, but have a hard time getting Seth Rollins because the other two combatants are getting in the way, and Seth Rollins retains.
Seth retains.
Sorry that I made you go through all that, but just want to show you how all this looks. Seth Rollins is going to win. Just plain as simple. I don't care if the Bronze get involved, meaning Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. I don't care if CM Punk and LA Knight start fighting each other because they don't know who want to beat up Seth even more. And Jey Uso is just there. I hate to say that, but Jey Uso is just there. So I'm picking Seth Rollins.
I can get jiggy with it.
Nah, I got through all that and I still have roughly 18 minutes to go. Good. Because now, I did open up this part by saying to find a PLE on Peacock, right? Yeah. Because instead of waiting till 2026 for the move to ESPN, guess what TKO decided to do? No. We're going to move up next month to ESPN and bring you the first ever Wrestling Palooza. Oh, before I get there, I'm glad that caught my eye. Oh, yeah. There's another point that I need to get off my chest. Let me go back to Cousin Paris real quick. Now, we understand that Naomi had to relinquish the title because of pregnancy, correct? No problems there, correct? Now you tell me because of that, we can't see Stephanie Vaquera this Sunday at Clash in Paris. We have to wait a whole week for Adam Pearce to find an opponent and put everything together to make it official. Something smells fishy about this. I don't know if you got anything you want to say, but I felt like they scorned my girl out of that title. You know, I don't like it.
I think you pretty much covered it, sir.
I don't like it one bit. You telling me at all? You couldn't come up with a fair four-way like you like to do to just have a fight four ladies fight for the vacant title at Casa Paris? You couldn't just do that? So we're just going to pull Stephanie Vaquera out of Paris altogether. Y'all playing with me. Now back to this Wrestlepalooza that we got going on here. That all of a sudden is going to happen. I believe I'm correct. It is September 20th, sir, if I'm correct.
Somewhere around that. It was there and I kind of heard it, but...
So we jump from the first move to ESPN being WrestleMania 42-43. Either way, it's still in Vegas.
Vegas, year due. How about we do that?
A Vegas redo. How about that?
Redo. Yeah.
part do that you was supposed to be the first move to ESPN. That is in April. So we're going to skip March, February, January, December, November, October. And we get to September. How many months did I just say? How many months did I just name?
You said what again?
WrestleMania is in April of next year.
Mm-hmm.
We skipped all the other months just to get to September to make the move to ESPN.
Eight months ahead of time.
Eight whole freaking months. One year, just not that long ago, about a week or two ago, just announced that WWE was moving to ESPN and he was going to use it for WrestleMania. And y'all want to know why y'all was starting to get backlash from fans? Because y'all doing stuff. You set one date and then a week later you're changing around. It's like, hold on, wait a minute. Bruh, we are just starting to trying to figure out if we want to do this whole ESPN $30 a month thing here. That you gave us time, you gave us months in time to figure it out, to simmer down, really clear our heads and think about it, and then, okay, you know what? I think I can do it. No, now you switch it up, now you get a whole month. And then you want to do a WrestlePalooza, something that's never been done in WWE before, but we're going to do a WrestlePalooza. And then we're going to hold it. You hold it in Indianapolis. And then you talk about Pat McAfee, who we haven't seen in 2 weeks already. Man, I say in 2 weeks, talking about his own show. So is Pat McAfee working behind the scenes with WWE to where he has to be off his own TV show?
Possibly. If you can't do ours, then you can't do yours.
Are we going to see the final boss? Because he liked to show up for first evers. The first ever WrestlePalooza. Are we going to see The Rock there? And yes, I'm taking a shot at my own favorite wrestler. It's like the only time we see him nowadays. Nick Khan, do you still stand by your statement that it doesn't matter what we do, the fans are going to follow us anyway? So what happens if WrestlePalooza doesn't turn out the way that you think it's going to turn out? And I mean the streaming part, not the people in attendance, because the people in attendance are going to Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Cool. Hold on. Did I say people in attendance? There's something you want to talk about when it comes to that, didn't you?
Yes, there is.
Hmm.
So, the geniuses, and I use this term loosely, WWE, the decision makers, the money whores, TKO, well, I believe this is them. If you would like a floor seat on the first row to WrestleMania next year, it's going to cost you thousands of dollars for both nights. I believe 7,000 is what I saw specifically for one seat for two nights. I had a dream at one time. I wanted to go to all the different places that WrestleMania was at, especially places I've been to Vegas, so not a big deal. But I haven't been to the new stadium, but been in Vegas. So I wanted to go, you know, WrestleMania was a couple hundred dollars, you get a good seat. And I wanted to go and visit and, you know, enjoy it. This is back when WrestleMania was one night. Came two nights. Okay, so I'll probably go to just night two because, you know, night one, it's a lot to try to go to both nights. And you got to park, you got to get down there, you got to bag, it's a lot. Now you're telling me, I want to sit on the floor. You know, you get your chair and all this stuff. $7,000 for both nights. Bro. I understand it's a business. But for the normal consumer, those of us who are fans of multiple sports, for instance, myself, offense, college, pro, and WNBA, pro basketball, men's and women's. So NBA, WNBA, college men's and women's, you know, baseball. There is no way on the good Lord's green earth that I'm going to pay you anywhere near $7,000. I'm going to pay you $1,000 for seats for 2 nights. But I get it. Because it's no longer about the average person. It's who can pay you these astronomical, absurd prices. And you don't care if someone has to sacrifice and not do anything for the rest of the year just to go to WrestleMania and spend all their money. You're just looking at the bottom line. And I get it. You're a business. But I can tell you 100% for sure. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. You plan. It's better be a Vegas only thing. Or, you know what? My quest will not be continuing to go to every WrestleMania. I will pass and watch it on TV.
So, I'm on Ticketmaster right now, sir. And this is Wrestler for Losers, sir. Let me see if I can show it to you.
No, I can't see. You just kind of tell me.
Let me... Maybe I turn down the brights, because...
I don't know. It was brighter than a mug. Still can't see it. Just tell me.
Still can't see it. Four seats, F2, row 8. Guess how much?
$1,000.
Over 2,400.
I figured that was low. Not even surprised. Not even surprised.
Y'all sitting here making all these freaking moves, and all of a sudden, as big as WWE is, one thing you don't want to do is start adding people. I don't like the track that y'all going, TKO. And I'm calling TKO. I ain't saying Paul. I'm saying TKO. Y'all made a decision to go back to Vegas instead of putting in New Orleans like you're supposed to do. In which there was a very, I do mean very, when I say very, I mean a 98% chance that the Miners would have been in New Orleans for WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. No, we're gonna go back to Vegas. Well, okay, you can cancel that then.
Yeah, we want to.
We ain't going. Hell,
not for WrestleMania. On top of it, if I'm going to Vegas and I'm chilling, and you know, just hanging out for a couple of days, just enjoying myself. Yeah, but I'm not going out there and then your astronomical WrestleMania prices on top of that. We good.
We talked about that last year. I don't know. And you know the funny thing is, they've been born in the South. You notice that, right? Now that I'm sitting here thinking about it. When the last time they was in the South for a premium live event?
It's been a while.
Man, I'm sitting here thinking about it. When the last time they've been there? Bronco premium live event to the South.
It's been a while.
So if my mind is on the scene, let me go through here. So I'm skipping NXT. I'm just doing strictly main roster. Let's see. Royal Rumble is at Lucasoil Stadium. And the Elimination Chamber was in Toronto. Of course, WrestleMania was in Vegas. Backlash was in St. Louis. Money in the Bank was in California. Mm-hmm.
when they finally decided to bring back Evolution, that was in Atlanta.
So Evolution was the last one.
The all women's PLE.
Mm-hmm.
When they gave us a crappy Saturday night main event.
Mm-hmm.
SummerSlam, New Jersey. Clash in Paris. The name says itself. Wrestlepalooza in Indianapolis. Crown Jewel is in Australia. Survivor Series is going to be in San Diego. Next year's Royal Rumble. Guess where that's going to be at? Me and Koo's favorite place in the entire world. Saudi Arabia. We already talked about WrestleMania going back to Vegas. SummerSlam's going to be in Minnesota, which was supposed to be the initial time when they was going to two nights, not New Jersey. So we got all the wait. We got to wait a whole year, sir, to August 29th. You know why? Because that's when Money in the Bank would be in New Orleans.
Get me out of here. I'm done.
If you are, if you haven't watched Raw tonight, I'd recommend, you know, I'm sure you can see it on, it's on Netflix anyway. It's already premiered, so maybe you can go ahead and watch it. Might as well. It's time frame used to it anyway. I haven't watched it yet. I'll be jumping on to check it out. But, you know, it is what it is. A couple of comments here. So Yolanda says, Bad Blood was the last I can think of here. And she does say Evolution. She is in the Atlanta area. She lived there. Kind of miss it, definitely. She says, was here last. And then she said, TKO don't like regular wrestling fans, I guess. I'm going to leave that one up there. We got a couple of more comments here. We got one from Sunny Wire. But a couple more from Yolanda, too. Yolanda says, it's a joke to have all those titles. Talking about AEW. What the heck? She said, it makes them look weak now. Absolutely does. Hurt Syndicate. Sunny Wire says, hey, friend. Stream very cool. Amazing. Love to know more about your streaming schedule and be one of your top fans. Kindly add me on Discord, sun_445. And we'll go back to TKO don't like regular wrestling fans, I guess. We're going to leave that one up to just scroll until we finish what I'm going to say right quick. So, co-host, I feel that he's not exactly enthralled with WWE right now. I'm going to simply say it this way, real simple, real straight to the point. Do better. It's okay to do things and want to make the money, and I get it, but at the same time, you know, I already signed with ESPN, you're doing all this other stuff. You don't have to try to bust everybody's pockets wide open for everything anymore. You know what I'm saying? You really don't have to. You probably still will because that's what it is, but you don't have to. A lot of disappointing things this week in the world of professional wrestling, but that's okay because I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. We'll be back with you guys next week. More to the normal format. We will be breaking down Clash in Paris. Hopefully some interesting things happen in. Hopefully Raw and SmackDown kind of get us back where feeling better about things. AWTNA, AEW NXTNA. Back a little bit more information on what they had going on this coming week. And hey guys, some weeks things happen that we're not very happy about. Normally it's not both of us, but it is this week. But hey, we still here talking to y'all about it. We still chopping it up. If you're watching, make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to all the channels. Playmakers Blog on YouTube, at Real Play Callers on YouTube, Shady Sports Network on YouTube. If you have access and you want listen to us on the Go Real Wise Radio, as well as you can find us other places. We moving up. Rumble is another place where you can find Monarchs of Wrestling. I guess I'm just going to say disappointing week on some specific things, but overall I would say not the worst week. There's been worse. And also, we got to go back to NXT for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Actually, a minute and a half. The Speed Championships, men and women's, are now going to be NXT Championships. They're going to be being defended on the shows now. So up until now, they've acted like they don't exist as far as the actual showing the belts. Now they're NXT belts. Yeah. That's what WWE needed. Trying to be the AEW, huh? Good luck. Make sure you rock with your boys. Make sure that I tell a couple of people to come check us out. And you're going to go through the normal spill night. Just remember, it's never where you start. It's always where you finish. Y'all enjoy y'all even. If you haven't watched Raw, go on and watch it. If you've watched it already, I don't know. Find something to do. We'll holler at y'all. It's never where you start. It's always where you finish.